This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
Views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Bill Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right, Saturday morning, it's 10 o'clock, and heck, it's the month of July, July 1st. Summer's flying along, and we've been looking forward to this stretch here for quite a while because there are some significant golf events that have either been happening or will happen, or in fact are happening as we speak in the Midwest. The show here is Golfers on Golf. We're going to be bringing you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective for the next hour. And here in studio this morning, we've got a threesome here in person. Your hosts are myself. I'm Ed Stevenson, PGA professional with the courses of DuPage Golf. That includes the Preserve at Oak Meadows, Maple Meadows, and Green Meadows. Alongside me is longtime Chicago area sports journalist Rory Spears. And our third in studio is Bill Berger. Bill Berger, a PGA Life member, former touring professional, and now maker of some of the best thin crust pizza in the Chicago area for 50-plus years at Jake's on Grand. So, hey, good morning, guys, and to our listeners, good morning to you. We've been talking to you for weeks about the Senior U.S. Open going on at Century World in Stevens Point in Wisconsin, not too far away. And, you know, Rory, that course was shut down for a long time to be in pristine condition for this championship, and I don't think it's disappointed at all. Probably happy to finally see some golfers out there.
Yeah, there is some golfers out there, and a lot of them are playing some good golf. A lot of them are struggling. Scores look more like a U.S. Open, and even Steve Stricker had a stretch with double bogeys and mixed in with a par the other day over three holes. Very unlike Steve. I think he rebounded yesterday by playing the same three holes and two under par instead of four over par.
That's quite a swing.
Yeah, so, you know, interesting there, but you know, Ed and Billy, it's that time of season again where, oh, we have golf organizations stacking tournaments on top of tournaments. You know, even though it's a four-state range, we have in Illinois, we had the Illinois Senior Open over at your place, the Preserve at Oak Meadows, won by the defending champion Mike Small. We have the U.S. Senior Open at Century World in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. We had the Women's Western Golf Association Junior Championship at the Greenbrier Country Club in the St. Louis suburb of Kirkwood. And our Len Zeem is down in Indiana over at the Senior LPGA Championship. And you know what? So as a result, a lot of tournament action going on, and we're going to go right into the middle of it right now at Stevens Point, Wisconsin, Century World Golf Course, the U.S. Senior Open. And jumping in here for a couple minutes, we have Gary D'Amato from Wisconsin.golf, and I know it's a busy day for him. He's probably being asked to be on about nine talk shows today. But, Gary, how you doing up there in Wisconsin?
I'm doing well, Rory. Actually, you're number one of several, but so you've got the leadoff spot. Happy to be on.
Well, I'm glad you're batting leadoff on this show, and I'm glad we're batting leadoff on your list of appearances today. I heard you're appearing in Hawaii, too, with
Rory,
Daniel Tucker.
Rory, when you tee off first, that sometimes means you had the highest score. So.
Well, Gary, I know there's been a lot of excitement, a lot of buildup for this U.S. Senior Open. Two of Wisconsin's hometown guys are expected to be in the mix, and they somewhat are. I know Jerry Kelly's battling through a wrist injury, and Steve Stricker had to fight back from a couple of double bogeys in the same round, something we don't see from Steve. But tell us how things are shaping up at the halfway point.
Yeah, you know, I don't think Steve Stricker has had his A game yet. I think he's, you know, he's struggled a little bit, made some uncharacteristic mistakes in that first round that led to those doubles. But, you know, I expect both of those guys to be here till the end. I mean, they might not win, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they were in the hunt, you know, coming down the stretch tomorrow. They're both playing really well. You know, Steve leads a Schwab Cup standings by a mile. And Jerry has been playing better lately, and I think he's number 10 on the Schwab Cup list. So But, you know, they've got to chase down Bernhard Langer, who's going to be tough.
Well, you know, Gary, all the excitement with Steve Stricker isn't happening on the course. It's also happening off the course, we hear. Can we twist your arm to bring us back a 12-pack of that new Steve Stricker beer out there that we hear being advertised?
Yeah, it's a strychnine, it's called, which doesn't sound like it would be good. Strychnine's not good for you, but this beer apparently is pretty good, and it's made by District 1 Brewery up here, actually like a half mile from Century World, so I haven't tasted it yet, but I'm going to try to pick up some before I get home.
Oh, well, bring us some back. We'll pay you for it when we see you either at John Deere next week or somewhere else in the
sure.
the soon future. But you know, Gary, you know, we saw it at the time. You were showing it. The rough looks deep, and some of the conditions we saw there looked more like what we expect to see at a U.S. Open, and maybe a little different from what we saw out in L.A. at the U.S. Open a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, this is a proper U.S. Open venue. You know, seven guys at even par are better, only five guys in red numbers. You don't see that too often in any major anymore, let alone on the senior tour, on the PGA Tour champion. So this is a bit of an unusual setup. You know, the guys are grousing a little bit about the rough, which, you know, 4 to 5 inches deep, and it's uniform. It's everywhere. There's no graduated rough here. A friend at Century World, and I won't name him, but he told me that one of the players complained to John Bodenhammer, the chief championships officer with the USGA, about the rough, and told John, you guys got to cut this rough. And Bodenhammer's response was, we're cutting the fairways every day.
Hey, Gary, you should tell those guys they should have to hit out of the rough off of a mat.
Yeah, that was something on media day, yeah. And, you know, that's a good point, Rory, because the pros got here to play in this championship, and there was not a single divot in the fairways anywhere. They encountered a perfect golf course, except they probably would complain, you know, say the rough isn't perfect.
Well, you know, it's been amazing. As a golf course operator, it's been amazing to consider the preparation for this event, the changes that have happened in recent years, and just the downtime, and to have a course in that condition, suddenly have the galleries return, the players return. You know, you talked a bit about the players' reaction. Of course, they're focused on the rough. But overall, how's the venue being received? And even from maybe galleries or spectators, it's a different Century World than maybe they thought they knew prior to seeing it this time.
Yeah, you know, they love the course. They really do. They think it's everyone who has come in and said it's a fair setup. You know, they don't like being in the rough, but that's, you know, that goes for anyone who plays this game. It's not fun hitting out a 4-inch cabbage, but they love the way Century Insurance has embraced this championship and the way the USGA has done things here. It's first class all the way. The galleries have been huge, and that 12:29 p.m. tee time today with Steve and Jerry paired together, there's going to be 20,000 people, you know, around that first tee and down the fairways. It's going to be something else.
You know, you would swear that was scripted. Of course, golf's a pretty hard game to script, but yeah, it's a great storyline. And quite honestly, as beautiful as the flower hole is, it's great to hear all these other things being talked about as well. I think there's a much richer tapestry of things to think about when you think about Century World than just the flower hole. Of course, from this side of the state line, we're keeping eyes on Illini coach Mike Small, who actually just on Monday and Tuesday won the senior state championship here at Illinois at the Preserve at Oak Meadows, one of the courses I oversee, and then hopped in his car, headed north, and he's keeping it going. We see him hanging in there in the top 30 currently. So are there many Illinois folks up there? And, you know, in terms of maybe some other stories of the underdog, do you see anyone else emerging to make a run?
You know, yeah, that's great. Mike's played very well, and he mentioned that his tune-up was winning that state senior championship. So I guess that's how you tune up for a proper major championship. But, you know, I don't see anyone, you know, more than 5 or 6 shots back, you know, vaulting up the leaderboard, because it's so hard to make birdies here. You know, the low score, there's been 167 and I think 268, and that's it. So no one's going to go on and shoot 64 today, that's for sure. This is not L.A. Country Club.
Well, Gary, I sort of on Media Day challenged Ben Kimble a little bit to put the pin on the flower hole in a spot where it might be receptive to that ace, which would, I'm sure, be on highlight reels at USGA championships for years if somebody made it. Have they put it somewhere where the guys can really get at it?
Not yet. Maybe today or tomorrow. I think yesterday it was maybe on that little back right lobe. So, you know, most of the players were hitting the middle of the green and had 35 foot putts. I will be interested to see where they put that. I'd like to see it in the middle of the green and see some guys take a rip at it.
Yeah, that would be really fun. And I know that Steve's of course on and off the course. He's had some battles with Padraig Harrington. I believe Padraig's not too far back and out of this either, is he?
He's not. He's I think he's 3 or 4 over. A good round today puts him right in the mix. And I watched him play a bit in the first round, and it was maybe as bad as I've seen Padraig play in a long, long time. He was in the rough a lot, and his body language was not good. And he even said afterward that he said, my mind was racing all day. I couldn't focus. I couldn't concentrate. He said, I have 1 or 2 days like this a year. And he said, hopefully it's out of my system now. But he said he was not even going to go to the range. He was going to go to watch the Indiana Jones movie at the theater. That's how he was going to decompress.
Well, Gary D'Amato, Wisconsin.golf. We're following your coverage at the 43rd U.S. Senior Open at Century World, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Bring home a victory for one of the guys, the hometown guys there, and don't forget, find us a case of that Stricker beer. We're all dying to try it down here to see what it's like, and we'll catch up with you on that. Hey, listen, we'll let you go. We know you got 7 other talk show appearances today, and you got a lot of writing to do. And give Steve our best, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. That's Gary D'Amato, Wisconsin.golf. And, appreciate Gary coming on because a guy like him is really in demand in a week like this. And when you're a writer, you got a lot of writing to do. And not only that, these days, most of the writers, regardless of who you work for, your employers expect you to have some sort of a social media presence going on as well, whether it's updates on Twitter or Facebook, Instagram, wherever it might be. So, again, we appreciate Gary taking a few minutes for us. And now it'll be time in a minute here or so to talk a little bit about the PGA Tour coming to Illinois. Billy, one of your favorite topics, the PGA Tour.
Well, you know, who knows what's going on? Who's on whose side, or who's
right? Where's Liv? Where's PGA Tour?
Who's driving the car? Or who's robbing the bank? So it's a tough sell, you know.
Well, it's still generates a lot of excitement, especially out in the Quad Cities. We know we have the John Deere Classic coming up, and it's such a beloved event for so many years. I think we had the pleasure on this show of speaking with Claire Peterson and getting the lowdown on all the things that make that event so special and how it supports the community, raises money for charity, and really generates a lot of interest in an otherwise smaller market. And it's been I think a highlight of the summer here every year, and one steady stop on the PGA Tour here in really in the Midwest and in the state of Illinois.
Yeah. Well, the John Deere Classic is one that's won a lot of awards in different areas from the PGA Tour, and there's a lot of great things that go on out there. Their Birdies for Charity is an outstanding charity arm and one of the best in all of golf anywhere. And to tell us a little bit more about that and what's on tap for this week's tournament is the brand new championship director, Andrew Lehman. Andrew, welcome to Golfers on Golf.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're glad you could join us. You know, for many years, we used to do this interview with Claire Peterson, your predecessor, and I'd always get down to the Quad Cities, and he'd always tell me how coming on with us was his favorite interview to do every year. So you got to step into those big shoes, Andrew, and pick up the tradition here.
Yeah, and lead Rory on a little bit, too.
Yeah, well, I'm here to tell you, we'll carry that tradition on, and we'll keep it as our favorite interview.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, tell us a little bit what it, first off, has been like for you. I don't have to tell you, and I'm sure you've heard it from a lot of people. You've got some big shoes to fill, and I'm sure if you need them a little bit, you can find Claire and tug on his shoulder a little bit. But interesting times for the John Deere Classic, and, you know, a few months ago, people were still hoping you were going to get a contract extension on the tournament with the tour, and it looks like Deere Company has done that. Tell us a little bit about that as well.
Well, it's been great. You know, Claire's been a friend and a mentor for 17 years for me. He continues to be. We have him out to the office for coffee every once in a while, and you know, the staff that he's assembled before he retired, he left us in such a great place. So our staff, our board, our committee chairs and our volunteers are ready to take this thing forward. But to your point, having the commitment from John Deere in this community and for this event means so much in this community. They're certainly one of the best, if not the best, title sponsor on the PGA Tour. What they are trying to accomplish here matches up so well with what we do. They're civic and community driven, and that's everything that we're trying to do here. And you know, we're just blessed to be able to present the 52nd event here in the Quad Cities, and it's just something that we can never take for granted.
Andrew, let me ask you this. I believe the previous deal was a real long one, about 8 years, and now the new deal is 3 years. But I believe that I saw you quoted somewhere saying sort of that's more of the business model today in golf, and the tour is the type of deal that Deere had with the tour in the past. They really don't exist anymore. Of course, in today's changing business climates, CEOs change, company presidents change, companies get bought by other companies, boards change, and sometimes the direction in golf or the commitment to golf isn't always what it's been. So I'm sure that though with 3 years, John Deere must be very happy to still be a part of things, even if it's a shorter contract this time around.
Yeah, you know, the golf world has been flipped upside down more than once here in the last 2 years. And I think what they've done, and there's been some other title sponsorship renewals that have been in a shorter range than what you've seen typically. So to take it in small chunks and look at it that way, it's a really sound business decision on John Deere's part. You know, I don't think, you know, from our perspective, even though, you know, it's a negotiation between John Deere and the PGA Tour, and we're the benefactor who gets to put the tournament on, I don't think from our staff's perspective, you know, there was ever any worry that it wouldn't continue. But to have them renew and know that we're here through 2026 allows us to continue to build and move this event forward into the future.
Yeah, you know, Andrew, it's we know that a good golf tournament is always going to have exciting moments, memorable shots. It's going to have a field that you know, generates excitement and you know, a venue that separates out the best player that week. But a great golf event does all that and more. It solves problems for the community, addresses needs, bring the community together. And I think, you know, the John Deere Classic's been a model for that. I think year in and year out, there are records set for the dollars raised for local charities, as you touched on. And then beyond that, beyond just what's going on the golf course, there's so much during the week that goes on and brings the community together in addition to golf. And holistically, what are some of those other things that that you've been doing this year, from concerts and otherwise, to really round out everything this event means to the community?
Well, we're really excited about our field, first and foremost. To have 9 guys ranked in the official World Golf Rankings, top 50 rankings, is something that we haven't had since 2012. So certainly the PGA Tour changes in regard to the 2023 FedEx Cup playoffs have benefited the John Deere Classics of the world. And we felt that coming into it, with being towards the tail end of the FedEx Cup season, sure, before the playoffs start, that we would see a benefit from that. We're really excited about our next crop of sponsor exemptions and identifying that next wave of great young talent, which, as you know, and talking with Claire, he was really good at that, and we've done a great job of that for the past 2 decades. And then you start to look at some of the things that are going to happen during tournament week. First, having Caitlin Clark here, who is like the Iowa's version of the Beatles.
Go Hawkeyes!
That's right. That's right. Partake in you know, youth day activities, partake in the pro-am with Zach Johnson. And then you look ahead, the athletic contest will start on Thursday, and you look ahead to the weekend, and, you know, we're going to have Darius Rucker here post-play on Saturday night and Blake Shelton post-play on Sunday night, and we're just really looking forward to a great week and, you know, trying some things that are outside the box from your typical everyday golf tournament.
Well, Andrew, you know, my partner here, Ed Stevenson, is a Hawkeye alum, so he was pretty fired up to hear that Caitlin Clark is coming out and being a John Deere Classic Pro-Am participant with Zach Johnson. So you kind of have Team Iowa going there. We understand from the press announcement that she is really an avid golfer when she's not practicing her jump shot. Do you have any preview on what kind of game she has on the golf course?
I've not seen her play in person, but I've seen her on video. That's actually how we came up with the idea. We've been fans of that team and the Iowa women's basketball team for the past 2 years, and then certainly they go on a run this year to the national championship game and capture the hearts of you know, basketball and sports fans across the country. But we saw a video of her playing golf with her college teammates on Big Ten Network during a halftime show, and we reached out to her camp about 2 months before the NCAA championship run started, and there was certainly interest right out of the gate. So to bring her here and welcome, you know, droves of young fans, welcome these kids to the game of golf, and get a chance to see and possibly meet Caitlin Clark is going to be a highlight of tournament week.
Love it.
Well, Andrew, you know, some of the things that make up that are classic, that are really a part of the John Deere Classic tradition, is you go there and you have a pork chop sandwich, you dive into the Whitey's ice cream, there's sometimes there's a big piece of John Deere equipment out there that you can putt an oversized golf ball into a cup in and try to win a prize. What sort of the John Deere Classic traditions can we expect back again this year?
Well, you just named a couple of staples. If you're not having a pork chop sandwich when you're out here tournament week, you're missing out. Maybe have a little dessert with some Whitey's ice cream after and take that putter on. But, you know, things that we try to focus on from a staff point and look at each and every year is how can we make the event better from a spectator experience? So there's a whole host of new venues out here. We've transformed some of our existing structures to be a little more fan friendly, you know, more video boards and do stuff like that. So, you know, we want to take otherwise maybe some folks who are not golf fans or people who show up with their kids and want to have a great time out here and make memories that when they, you know, leave for the evening and they go, man, that was really cool. And I want to go back either tomorrow or on the weekend or the next year and into the future.
Well, Andrew, one of the things that was always a big hit, not only at Media Day, but especially around the kids during Championship Week, is the defending champions bobblehead. So is there a JT Poston bobblehead this year? That's the question.
Yeah, JT's got his own bobblehead, which we unveiled at Champions Day. And, you know, I think they get a little bit better each year and look a little more like him. But he opened it, and he had a nice laugh. And, you know, anytime you can open a box and see a bobblehead of yourself, that's a pretty cool experience. But, yes, the first 500 kids for Youth Day will get a free bobblehead.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know that so many people out there appreciate that, and it's always one of the great things that some people at least can get their hands on during the tournament. You know, one of the things, and I know you touched on it briefly earlier in the interview, that Claire Peterson did such a great job of really launching but sort of expanding the program a little bit, is getting the, shall we say, the stars of tomorrow involved today, and usually there's several great college players in the field. At some point or another, they want to take a shot at the PGA Tour even before they get there. And I remember being at the NCAA Championships in 2017, and when the press conference ended for the Oregon Ducks, I got to walk down a sidewalk and tell Wyndham Clark he had just gotten an exemption into the John Deere Classic, and he was pretty excited on a day that they didn't walk away with the title, but it made his day, and I got to believe that some of the exemptions that you've brought in this year, it's going to be a great start for them too.
No, you're exactly right, and it's always fun to make those phone calls. It's twofold. It's fun to make the phone calls to, you know, the guys that you can get in, but it's equally you know, hard to call the guys and say, hey, you were just, you know, you were right there. And we probably get 70-ish letters a year. I think we had at one point 8 letters from the top 10 amateur ranked guys in the world. And so we're excited about, you know, Gordon Sargent and Michael Thorbjornsson will be here as amateurs, number one and number two in the world in the amateur rankings. You know, you look at Tommy Cool, who's just down the road from us in Morton, Illinois, and had a decorated career at Illinois. There's going to be a lot of excitement for him. You look at Ross Steelman, who led the NCAA championships going into Sunday. He grew up in Missouri. Fun story about him is he actually won the John Deere Classic Junior in 2015 as a 12-year-old. So he's won a trophy here at TPC Durand. You look at William Mao, decorated career at Pepperdine. And then you've got Marcus Byrd, who, you know, Middle Tennessee State has been playing on the Advocates tour for a while. I think he's got 3 victories this year on that tour. He's teed it up in 3 PGA Tour events already, and he won the APGA event here at TPC Durand about a month ago. So we're excited about it. You look at those guys, you've got some veterans with guys that have won, you know, majors and have had decorated careers. And then you look at the field from what we talked about earlier. It's really going to be an exciting week and something that we're really proud of.
Well, Andrew, I have to ask you this. I know that every once in a while over the years it's been open, D.A. Weibring and the PGA Tour might come in and tinker slightly with the golf course, but it's always been a pretty good one from right out of the blocks. But one of the things that I've noticed in recent years is some of the views that you've opened up on the back 9 holes, especially that look out over the river. I think the players have enjoyed that. I've also noticed that some of the national publications that do rankings have really brought TPC Deer Run up higher on the charts. What can you tell us about the golf course? Any changes to it? And it sounds like the public that gets out there to play it and the Raiders that get out there to play it really love it.
We're so blessed that we have this as the home of the John Deere Classic. And, you know, it is a great track that, you know, you would feel like it's been here for 100 years and they've only been playing here for, you know, 23 years. But you look at it, Jonathan Graham and his staff, the superintendent, he's new this year as well. You know, I think it gets a little bit better each and every year. To your point, you know, they do make some changes. We didn't have any significant golf course renovations this year, but they have opened up even more. If you look at views on 15, they've really cleared that out and opened up some really, really beautiful views of the river and the golf course. And it's just a golf course that is so picturesque and beautiful, and it's so protected and pure out here. And the players that come just give it rave reviews.
It is, and I think, you know, Chicago area golfers who, you know, have for some reason or another missed on that opportunity to take the short drive west and be a spectator, get the chance to go out at other times of the year. I mean, here's a course that the public can go play after seeing the best players in the world compete, and it's just such a unique opportunity on a tremendous piece of property. You know, over those 23 years, there's also been some amazing finishes. There have been some conclusions to this event that you'd swear the script writers had, you know, conspired and tried to put something together. And, you know, this year you've got a strong field. You've got great stories behind the sponsor exemptions. I know, Andrew, you can't have a rooting interest, of course, but what are the script writers wrapping up? What would a Sunday finish, exciting finish, perfect Sunday finish look like for you from your perspective?
Well, I tell you what, you hit the nail on the head. We have had some tremendous finishes. You go back to Stricker's 3-year run, you know, Zach wins in 2012, and then certainly, you know, you look at Jordan's bunker shot in 2013.
Right.
That, you know, there's a lot of debate on whether or not that was destined for the pond if it doesn't go in the hole. But, you know, for us, you look at it and you say, you know, if we can have a great weather week, you know, which is every golf event's, you know, first wish is to make sure the one thing you can't control, if you can get that in your favor, things will go according to plan. For us, you know, to have this place packed, we just actually announced the sellout of our grounds tickets on Sunday with the Blake concert. We're closing in on that for Saturday as well. So to have a great leaderboard on the weekend, you're right, I can't have a rooting interest. But it's going to be a great week. And And selfishly, I hope we don't have a playoff this year just so we can start that concert on time. You know, if we do, we know it'll be exciting if we do.
All right. Well, Andrew Lehman, championship director for the John Deere Classic. Andrew, great luck with a tournament next week. We'll be down to see you. And we know why they titled the book that Craig DeVries wrote, Magic Happens Here. And, boy, it sure does. And we're looking forward to another exciting week at the John Deere Classic, a TPC Deer Run next week. And we'll see you on property.
I can't wait to see you. And you're right. That was my favorite interview, fella.
Keep lying right. to us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. All right, that's Andrew Lehman, the championship director of the John Deere Classic. Everybody make it out to Silvis in the Quad Cities next week. Exciting tournament play. With that, we're going to take a break, and we will be back with Eric Ludwig from the Pro Angle Bunkers Sand Group in Ohio. Yeah, all that white sand you see in sand traps these days? Well, we found the spot it's coming from. We're back after this. Erin Hills, one of Wisconsin's top public golf destinations and a top 100 rated golf course, is ready to welcome golfers to a championship golf experience. Erin Hills is where you can enjoy walking on the rolling hills of the Kettle Moraine area just northwest of Milwaukee. Erin Hills has already hosted four USGA championships, including the U.S. Amateur and the 2017 U.S. Open. Now, a fifth USGA championship is coming in 2025, and this time it's the ladies' turn when the Women's U.S. Open arrives. It's also one of six U.S. Open courses open for public play. Now at Erin Hills is the 63,000-square-foot putting green, the Drumlin, open for unlimited use for those with a scheduled tee time. While at Erin Hills, you can stay in rooms over the Irish pub or in one of the several cottages right on property. During the warm days of summer, enjoy beverages like a Fescue Rescue or a cold Erin Hills Pilsner. So book your tee times now, because tee times and rooms are going quickly. So book your play and stay by calling Erin Hills at 866-772-4769 or visit erinhills.com. Mistwood Golf Club, located on Renwick Road in Romeoville, is one of the Chicago area's finest public golf facilities, where golfers find a commitment to excellence by the owners, the McWethy family. Mistwood Golf Club, designed and renovated by architect Ray Hearn, is a links-style golf course with 20 sodwall bunkers like those found in Scotland or Ireland. Mistwood has played host to several championships, including the state amateur, and it's the yearly home of the Illinois Women's Open. The driving range and performance center comes with natural grass hitting areas and indoor hitting bays, perfect for lessons, practice, or club fittings. Before or after your round, stop in and enjoy the bar and grill in the performance center or dining in McWethy's Tavern in the main clubhouse. So make your tee times today by calling 815-254-3333 or visit online mistwoodgc.com.
All right, it's a little bit past 10:30 a.m. You're tuned in to Golfers on Golf Radio, bringing you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective. And as we head into the second half of our hour-long show, here in studio, alongside me is Rory Spears, Bill Berger. I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson. And guys, it was fun talking, of course, with the folks out from the John Deere Classic out in Silvis, Illinois. We always look forward to that event, you know, with the eyes of the world on our state. And I know, you know, part of what they're going to see out there in Silvis, Illinois, includes a bunker renovation that took place in 2021 and overall rave reviews on those bunkers and the conditions overall in Silvis.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Ed, I remember your renovation at the Preserve at Oak Meadows, and your architect, Greg Martin, threw that white sand option out at you. You called me, you said, Rory, what do you think? Is this something we should do if we can, or is this going to be a fad that's going to be gone in 5 years? Well, we know.
Not a fad.
Not a fad, not at all. So if you've seen courses around the Chicago area, and there's over 30 of them now that are sporting the white sand bunkers, and you're wondering, like, wow, how? Where did this come from? Where did what brought this? You know, we thought this was a thing for courses down in the Caribbean, but no. Well, there's a place in Ohio that many general managers, directors of golf, board presidents and board members have traveled to see in recent years. And we're going to learn a little bit more about the craze that has exploded white sand bunkers. And joining us from Ohio is Eric Ludwig from the R.W. Sidley Incorporated Corporation that produces this stuff. Eric, welcome to Golfers on Golf.
Great to be here. I appreciate it.
Okay, Eric, first question of the day. I know you're at your son's baseball tournament. Has he hit a home run yet this morning?
they're warming up now. They play at noon. So
okay.
I'm good.
All right. Well, Eric, you know, it's interesting. It had to be about 12 years ago. I went to see a golf course renovation in the Chicago area, the Knollwood Golf Club, and Keith Foster introduced them to white sand. And it wasn't long thereafter, the Illinois PGA section had an event there with over 100 of the local section pros. And it only took one day for the course to earn a name, Mini Augusta. And a lot of those pros went back to their clubs, their GMs, their boards, their board presidents, and said, you know what, you got to take a look at this. And many of them did. They trekked over to Knollwood and started checking out the white sand bunker. And people started to realize it's not just a thing for down in Florida or down in the Caribbean, that that could work anywhere in the country, and it could really bring a pop and a splash to golf courses, especially ones getting some work done on them. And tell us a little bit about your facility and the craze that has been white sand going into golf courses.
Sure. It's funny that color is the least important thing, honestly. It's the performance of the sand that matters. It does look nice. You can see, you know, you can see corners of the golf course that you might not have been able to see previously, because when you had dark sands, they wouldn't stick out. You know, so from an aesthetic standpoint, pro angle definitely improves golf courses. So we mine in Thompson, Ohio. It's a very small town. We have about 1,800 acres in the mine. We mine 2 years, so we're going to be here for a while. The company formed in 1933. It's a privately held, family owned business. Back in the mid 90s, some agronomists from Muirfield were looking around for a specific sand and came to the R.W. Sidley Company, and they gave it a shot, and the rest was kind of history. So angular, you know, completely angular bunker sand was invented by R.W. Sidley Company. Pro Angle is the pioneer.
Well, Eric, let me ask you this. There's lots of back and forth on white sand. We hear that not only does it maybe look better than the old orangish, brownish stuff, but some people say it's easier to play out of, but there's other talk out there that it may not be as easy to maintain. The cost is much different. Take us through some of the particulars of the product and the dimensions of bringing white sand into a golf club.
Sure. So where the product differs from regular naturally occurring sands, you know, most sands are brought in by wind or water, so they're round. The particles will roll, they'll move. When it rains, you know, big rain events, it washes the bunkers, it washes the sand off the faces. Well, Pro Angle is produced by taking a pebble and making it into sand. So every piece of that, every sand grain is angular, every single one of them. So they all work together to stay in place. So after a rain event, you know, a 3-inch overnight rain on a Friday night, you're fixing cracks in some bunkers. You're not pushing whole faces up. So from a maintenance standpoint, it actually is a lot better because they just don't wash out. And what superintendents report after a renovation is that they are always surprised how quickly Pro Angle changed everything. It changes the maintenance immediately. It changes the playability immediately because it's just a far superior sand than what was in there before.
Yeah, Eric, if I can, you know, jump in on that, our own experience, it's, you know, certainly there's no doubt different products in anything are going to come with different upfront costs. And of course, that's a fact of life. But I think some things that no one might contemplate is, first of all, how much bunker maintenance really ties up dollars at a golf course. The hours that can go into taking care of bunkers after significant wind events, rain events, taking care of bunkers that don't drain properly is either a lot of money that shows up in greens fees or a lot of time that's taken away from other maintenance on the golf course. So the quality of your sand product makes a difference, not only from the playability, but on where your maintenance time and resources can go to. And I think, you know, part of the other thing, and maybe you can elaborate on this, is that even when those wind events, you know, a lot of golf courses are losing high volumes of sand that blow out of the bunkers, get displaced where they where you don't want the sand to go. And courses are spending a lot of time and money replacing that. And yet with the, you know, angular product, not so much. It's the sand really wants to stay in place. And that has benefits across the board for golfers and golf courses alike.
Yeah, it's a good thing I don't it's a good thing I don't make a living on maintenance sand, because I honestly don't sell that much. I mean, my dad belongs to Rolling Green there in Arlington Heights, and they renovated in 2018 with Pro Angle, and they just bought their first maintenance load last week since right. their renovation.
Right.
So it's been 5 years, and they haven't had to buy one maintenance load. So, you know, over time, whether some sand gets contaminated or you know, a sand splash over time, that's when the maintenance pops up. But it's very infrequent. So and the sand is made of, it's nearly pure quartz, so that's why it lasts so long. It just doesn't break down. So you know, you can play it for, we have clubs that have 20-year-old Pro Angle in there. It may not look as nice as it did when it was first installed, but it still plays firm, it still drains, and it's still reducing their maintenance costs. So it's a lot of upfront investment. It is an expensive product, and freight. It's gotten even worse since COVID. But it's a worthwhile investment.
Eric,
Northmore, superintendent, go ahead.
No, go ahead, finish.
Up at Northmore, before their renovation, their superintendent had been tracking washouts and how many labor hours and what that was costing him in the summer. Right. And he thought it was $3,000 every time it had a big rainstorm, and it was 8 and 10 washouts a summer. So this, and it, you know, this just, it changed it immediately, because the whole course will not wash out anymore.
Wow. Well, I know Northmore is not that far away from one of the courses that that I work at, and yeah, sometimes up in that northern suburban area north of Chicago, you know, that rain can intensify coming in off the lake, and you got to believe that you know, courses, if they don't have to deal with that that problem, it would be great. In addition, Eric, you know, when you come out of renovation, it takes, you know, obviously the grass takes some time to grow in sometimes, and also people say it takes the sand some time to really settle in and firm up. What do you feel is the, shall we say, if there is such a thing as a timetable, maybe it depends on Mother Nature, but do you feel like the white sand firms up and is more into the condition of playable conditions, maybe a little quicker than other types of sand when it's new and it's going into a course that's just been redone?
Yeah, I, there's the truth to that, because when Pro Angle is installed, it's plate compacted by either the contractor or the course itself. And some courses go back and recompact it several times during a season just to make it as firm as possible. And then they just loosen up the playing surface with either a mechanical rake or just regular bunker rakes. So, you know, it kind of depends how much it was compacted during construction, and did the course go back and compact it more during the season, and how was the winter? Because, you know, the more water that goes through it, the more compact it'll be. So, you know, year two is really kind of the sweet spot. But again, the playability can be controlled by either or the superintendent in that first year.
Well, Eric, I know that there's a lot of courses in Illinois that are not using or that are now using it, and not just in the Chicago area, but also around the state. I believe we'll see it next week at the John Deere Classic at TPC Deer Run, and this week U.S. Senior Open up at Century World. I know that they've got some white sand in up there too that I got to play out of on media day, and it was pretty darn good. But there's a few places that if you're watching tournament golf, whether it's this week or next week, you can see it on TV.
Yeah, Detroit Golf Club for the Rocket Mortgage Classic right now, actually. And then we were, you know, when the late women's LPGA championship was at Kemper. We were at Medina for the BMW. We were at Wilmington for the BMW. So, we have a lot of tournament courses.
And I believe, well, you know, Medina 3 is undergoing a massive renovation right now, and I got to troop through a couple of those big bunkers about a week ago with part of the OCM design team. But is that product coming from you people as well that's been put in out there?
That is Pro Angle, and we did course 3 in 2019, and we're doing it again for this renovation.
So I piled up right by the gun club parking lot out there, getting ready to go into those newly renovated bunkers. Yeah.
Well, Eric, you got to tell go ahead.
The truck drivers don't usually say much when they come back in, but they do when they come back from Medina. They always talk about the clubhouse in Medina when they come in to pick up.
Yeah. Well, you know, Eric, you got to stay in touch with my partner Ed here. They're working on another course across the street from the one they renovated a couple of years ago, and with the same architect who recommended White Sand to him about 5 or 6 years ago. I don't know, Ed, that's a question I think everyone's going to want to know the answer to. As soon as you and your team and your board figure it out, will the Maple Meadows project maybe have the white sand that we see over at the preserve at Oak Meadows?
Well, it's I think where Eric started, those decisions that get made are really important. Sometimes the color of the sand, is beautiful. It sets up sight lines, everything else, but it's factoring into your long-term equation of how you're going to manage the maintenance and the quality experience. So I know we're committed to those things. So absolutely looking forward to that renovation and, others to come and finding those products out there that are truly the best. So pretty exciting about the stuff that comes out of Ohio.
Yep. Well, Eric, what has your workload been like, especially since we've sort of worked through COVID here? A lot of courses, some of them took advantage of shutdown times during the pandemic to do upgrades, and others have found a few more dollars in the bank account to do projects that were maybe overdue with the increase in play. And I got to believe for people like yourself, it's been busy times over the last few years.
It has. I'm not really a sales manager anymore. I'm more of a logistics manager. It's it's just trying to get it out the door that's been the hard part. And we've opened up some new territory in like Westchester County, New York, and we've serviced some clubs in Boston, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Jersey. So we're shipping a lot of rail cars, and we're doing a project in Florida for the Bears Club right now that's all by rail.
Yeah, wow.
So, rail cars, so, and trucks. That's how it's impacted me lately.
Well, the Bears Club, did Jack Nicklaus come up and walk through your sand piles at some point? And tell us about this facility. People say your stuff comes out of the side of a mountain onto these train cars and places to get it to where it's going.
Most of it's got corn sitting on it, and we strip the dirt off, and we have to drill and blast. And we separate. We do have sand, and we separate the sand from the gravels. And then the gravels are washed, crushed, screened, washed again. And that's where the Pro Angle comes from. So it's a process. It's a lot of wear parts, and it's a very, very durable element, and it takes a lot of energy to crush it. But that's what makes it such a long lasting product on the golf courses.
Well, Eric, before we let you go today, anything else you'd you'd like our listeners to know, and if there's any, shall we say, general managers, head pros out there that are facing bunker renovation projects coming up or overall golf course renovations, any message you'd like to send?
Well, I'll plug our website. We're pro-angle.com. On there's our course list, and we have a test bunker program because we believe and put our money where our mouth is. So test the sand, let your members hit out of it, watch it stay there after rainstorms. That's the best way. And again, about the color, you know, courses that like Exmoor was an example of a course that was really, really having a tough time with the color change. And after the renovation, the superintendent just said to me, they haven't said a word.
Well, that's always a wonderful thing. Well, Eric, I know the first pitch and the first inning, your son's game is coming up shortly, so we're going to let you run and pay attention to that. But Eric Ludwig, RW Sydney Incorporated, producer of Pro Angle Bunker Sands and Pro Top Dressings. Thanks for taking a few minutes to tell us a little bit more about a product that's really been making the sport of golf a lot more enjoyable for a lot of golfers. And one of our future trips through Ohio, we'll come see you and take a look at your operation in person. I'm sure it's fun to see.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you in, and thank you for the opportunity to be on the air.
Okay.
Thanks, Eric.
All right. That's Eric Ludwig of RS Sidley Corporation in Thompson, Ohio. White sand. I remember, Ed, when you went through your renovation over there, that was one of the big questions that you and your team and your board faced as you went through the project with Greg Martin at the Preserve.
No. You said it earlier, Rory. We wanted at the time, hey, you know, We've all lived through fashion eras. Bell bottoms were in fashion at one point, right? Would white sand be something that told the tale of a particular moment in time? And no, the truth is, I think it's been pretty timeless.
Well, back down in Indiana, we have our fourth member of Golfers on Golf Radio, Len Ziem, on the line with us now. He's at the Senior LPGA Championship, a little different golf course, about 30 minutes outside of French Lick. Len, how's it going down there?
Well, I tell you, it's been a nightmare. These poor folks here at Felton's Run have been deluged with rain. On Thursday, they barely had half the field complete play. They had a marathon day yesterday, and today we have yet to see a ball hit. It's been, and it's a shame because it's got a great front-running leaderboard. We got the probably the two best players in the tournament right at the top there with Trish Johnson and defending champion Kari Webb of Australia. So we're not sure. I tell you, they keep pushing the starting time back, and the weather keeps getting bad. And in Jasper, we're a few miles away from the course at the moment, but they've had 60-mile-per-hour winds, and right now it's clearing here by our hotel here in French Lick. So we're hoping they get to play, but it's a, you know, this is a $400,000 tournament. It's the biggest money event in senior women's play. So I'm hoping they get it in. It'd be a shame to call it after 36 holes, but that I understand that that's their thinking. If they can't play today, they won't, even though they have Sunday open, they won't keep people around for that. So it's been an eventful one, a kind of a little boring day at the office, just hanging around, trying to stay dry. But I guess that's happened to me before, and I'm sure it might happen again, you know.
Well, Lenny, I know that you could use a rest up day. You got the heavy lifting at the John Deere Classic coming in the week ahead. And is there any announcements coming out of French Lick? There's always been a project or two that our good friend Brendan Sweeney has kept in touch with all of us in the media about. And the last time we were there, they were just getting ready to open those new rooms next to the casino. And what's happening at French Lick Resort?
Well, I talked to Brendan a little bit, not Dave Harner yet. Brendan was at the tournament yesterday, and we talked more in terms of tournament play, which that's pretty significant here because in the first week of August they have the Epsom Tour coming, and it's for their biggest money event. That's the women's the LPGA version of the Korn Ferry Tour. They have a $335,000 purse, which is the biggest in that tour's season, and it'll be the last time that tour plays here because next year it begins a 5-year run for French Lick as the host of the Korn Ferry Tour Finals. So that's a big coup for French Lick. I think it's a great fit for them next year. The determined guys going on to the PGA Tour. Of course, you know, the way the golf world is going, everything is subject to change almost daily right now. So,
yeah.
It's kind of a weird situation. But French Lick, we're staying in a hotel there that just got hit by storm damage earlier last week and had its dome kind of pretty much beat up. And it's still a great place to come visit, though.
Lenny, I know that in the field we have a couple of our local lady professionals. Give us an update on Jamie Fisher at Conway Farms and Nicole Giray from Mistwood Golf Club.
Well, the Conway Farms player, she is Fisher. She has had a very interesting first day. She didn't. She was in the last group off the tee to be scheduled to tee off. Never got off the tee. It was rained out. She got. She had to play 36 yesterday. Had made an early birdie, and was actually at the top of the leaderboard for a little while. She's at even par and tied for 11th place. Nicole had a bad first day. She had shot 79, but improved to 72 the second day. And she's tied for 42nd place out of a 75 player field. So she's got some work to do. She's got to be hoping there's a third round because she's gonna need it to make a significant climb up the leaderboard. But it's certainly something she could do. I mean, she's played well at French Lick as a senior player in the past, and so both of those players have done well in this tournament the first few years. It's a young tournament. They've both been in the top 25, and kind of been an outside threat each time. But they need that third round this year to really to make some noise.
Well, Len, we'll be rooting for them as always, and I think we'll be rooting for some good weather as well. You mentioned a quiet day at the office gives you some downtime, probably a chance to taking things full circle here. Keep your eyes on the everything going on north of the Illinois state line here up in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I know, of course, we're following some local interest stories, whether it's Mike Small or some of the home stories with Steve Stricker or Jerry Kelly, but Bernhard Langer deserves some kind of attention and credibility here, too. He's looking to potentially make some history. He's the leader going into the weekend here at 3-under.
Tour-edge golf staffer.
I'm going to put you or Billy on the spot here and see who can maybe come up with it. If he were to win, how many champions victories would that be for the amazing Bernhard Langer?
Yeah, he'd beat Hale Irwin's record. Yeah, we covered the tournament in Naples earlier this year. I think it was the second tournament of the season, and Bernhard won there.
Yep.
Close to his home, and that was a good win. He tied the record that Hale Irwin holds as for most senior tour victories. I believe his number is 45, and he needs one more for 46 to break that record, and I think it's a record that's going to stand for quite a while if he can do it. And he's playing. He hasn't really threatened much since that win in Naples at Tiburon, but this week it's showing that he's still very much a factor in those events. It'd be a terrific accomplishment.
It's amazing.
If he doesn't pull it off this week, I hope he pulls it off before the year's out.
It's just amazing. He'll turn 66 in August, and I think, he's been attributed with saying he wasn't necessarily convinced he was going to play well this week, that even he's, in terms of driving distance, he ranks, I think, 127th, but in fairways hit, he's fifth. But he said, hey, I'll be hitting three irons in after hitting driver on some of these par fours. Some of the other players in the field will be hitting nine irons. So goes to show you get it on the green and make a putt or two, and you can make history and contend. And just really an amazing story from my perspective.
Yeah, it didn't seem like Century World would be a very good course for Bernhard Langer. It required the guy to hit the ball a lot further off the tee, and his iron game and his putting game, and he's been so successful with that over the years, but not so much this year. So it seemed a strange fit, but he's certainly hitting the peak of his game at the right time.
Good. Well, we'll be staying tuned. Hey, Len, we're going to root for good weather around you and everyone down in French Lick. And we're up against the clock here. So, Len, safe travels. We can't wait to see you in person. And we want to take a moment right now just to thank our producer, Brian, for getting us out to you, the listeners. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. You're going to catch us again next week at 10 a.m. for another episode of Golfers on Golf Radio here on WNDZ. Between the broadcasts, you can find us online at golfersongolf.com. And enjoy the remainder of this U.S. Senior Open weekend. best wishes for a happy 4th of July. And on behalf of my co-hosts, Billy Berger, Rory Spears, Len Zeem, stay well and hit them straight.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.